Initiate Cowrat Podcast.
Today I just want to talk about something a little more, it's a little more personal, talking about family basically, but also talking about how faith, having faith and a relationship with God helps us to deal with things, work through various things in our lives. And one of them that I went through recently, being the father of six, our youngest graduated last year. And that whole year I'd been kind of keeping in mind that, you know, each game we went to and these things, it's like, okay, so this is the last time we're going to ever go to this gym and play these guys. And this is the last time we're ever going to do this. And because for me anyway, I've hard to say how much loss I've dealt with versus other people. So whatever, I'll just say that dealing with loss is something that I've struggled with. And one of the things that I'm finding is helpful in dealing with loss is, first of all, you have to acknowledge that, yes, it is a loss. It's something that you had that you no longer have, whether that's a relationship or an experience, something you're part of and now it comes to an end, anything like that. When you lose somebody in your life, obviously that's a big deal, and even if they're still alive, but they move or emotionally things change. So I can say, I, you know, change is a challenge for me, and loss just seems like there's so much loss and just coming to grips with it. And some of it is even just realizing, especially growing up, that that's what I was dealing with. That's what actually happened. So in talking about the first of the lasts, as I told some friends last year, our youngest was graduating. A couple weeks before he graduated, I was going through some photos, and I have a huge photo library. I use Lightroom, and so a ton of digital photos, and I've had digital cameras for the last 23 years, and I shot a little bit of film before that, but I'm finding I wish I'd have shot a lot more. But I ran across them. So all that to say, it's rare for me to be surprised by a photo I find because I've been through all of them so many times, or have been through all of them, or I thought all of them. So I was ran into this photo of my oldest. I couldn't have been but a week or two old. I bet it was the first week or two at home. And it just struck me like a ton of bricks, staring at that. And then some grad photos that we'd shot of our youngest. And it just totally struck me. It's like, this is the end of a season. I've been parenting minor children at that point for 28 years. So part of dealing with loss or just dealing with change sometimes is just recognizing changing of seasons. And one of the things that trips people up is they don't process things well as they're happening. They don't even realize necessarily what's happening. And then years later, they find it just nags them and they don't know why. And so I just want to offer my, you know, my experiences, my observations with a couple of those things, and realizing that it is a big deal when things change, to take note of it, to process it, to even involve ceremony. We went through that book, Raising Modern Day Knights, you know, that's been 15 years ago now. And they talked about ceremony for a couple of different things. One of them is for sons coming of age, so to speak. And I see that that's definitely a thing that, as even as an adult, you need to do. You may need to do something ceremonially, even if it's just you and a picture, something, someone, someplace, whatever that is no more, or something about that has changed or whatever. And I'm not talking psychobabble here. I'm talking the reason things nag you years later many times is because you didn't work it all the way through in the day that it happened. So I said that about my oldest and youngest and realized, just wham, all there was in front of me like a pair of bookends, that I've been parenting minor children for the last 26 years. Well, 27 and a half. do I hear 26? 27 and a half. December 94 till May 22. There was that. And I realized, okay, I told myself before the school year started that I need to kind of play heads up ball with these things as they happen. You know, you hear people talk about that, don't blink, or you know, pay attention, whatever. And I would echo that, to realize that a lot of times, especially in today's world, everything is so fast-paced, ridiculously so in many ways, you have to force yourself to pay attention, to think through things as they're coming and realize what they mean. Recognize something as, oh, this is the last time that's going to happen. And it's not that you have to lament everything artificially or make a big deal out of everything. You just need to make sure you're paying attention as each one of these things happen, and because it might nag you later. So the summer we went through that Raising Modern Day Knights. So my oldest at the time was 13. So Nicollet County Conservation Club, they had that one event they have every summer. It's like $5 or something for each kid. You come out and they get to shoot, trap shoot, archery, and a couple other things. And they have a drawing and they give away prizes and stuff. And so this is an example of one of the situations where I didn't realize the time that I was in. I would say I paid more attention than at least some parents as far as being involved with my kids' lives and deliberately doing things. But this one caught me off guard, and this was kind of the first of this season. And I realized, oh my goodness, yeah, I need to start paying closer attention. So we went to this thing at the conservation club, and my oldest got up to shoot trap, and he'd never shot trap before, never shot a shotgun. He had shot 22, I think, maybe 30-06. I think we went hunting for the first time the year before that, maybe, deer hunting with in-laws. So he got up, they threw out five clays, and he hit 2 of 5. And it's like, well, that's 40%, and he's never, ever shot trap before.
Right, right.
And just in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, realized that he's not a little boy anymore. He's an adolescent, and he's doing things, and he's able to do things. And it was just a reality check. Just in that moment, God just kind of, okay, heads up, this is what's happening. This is where you're at. So that is just an example of paying attention to situations in our lives. And even if we find we came up a little bit short, like, wow, I'm not paying as close of attention as I thought. It's not a bad thing. You just need to respond to it. But to realize that seasons that change, the age of our children, the things they're involved in, the things we're involved in. Long story short, I worked for a large employer here in town for just a week shy of 17 years. Then I became an involuntary free agent, as one guy called it.
Yeah.
And about 6 years later, was rehired by a different division of the same company, like one block from the building I had lived in for 17 years before that. But because I was terminated suddenly, I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to anybody. Hmm. Nothing. I mean, it's like, collect your stuff, and we walk to the door and punch out for the last time. Hmm. And when I got back in, so to speak, and had been there, I think, probably a few weeks, that I started to remember, you know, a lot of the things that the accomplishments from my first time around, the different, I did some software development, all the different things we did. And so I kind of got to get closure, as you might say, from my first time as now kind of doing some of the same things, just getting a chance to, I don't know if you want to say celebrate, but be thankful for the opportunity, be thankful for the things I did in the past, the opportunity, the people I got to work with. The years that I worked in, there was a number of things that were very new in the desktop publishing world. We got to use a lot of it, I mean, as it was brand new. So I sort of got to get my closure from, well, I won't say sort of, I did. I mean, there was a period there for a couple of days where I really processed through these things to be grateful of things I had, just kind of highlight or recap things that we did, people I worked with, the things that were enjoyable about that. Got to do the things that a person would normally do their final 2 weeks of a job when they know they're going to retire or move on or whatever. Again, just another example of pay attention to the season you're in to realize that seasons do change. Nothing goes on forever, whether it's you talk to yourself or you journal or whatever it might be, but to make sure you've given these things an overview in your mind in some way as they change helps give closure, helps. Ecclesiastes 7:8 is the address, so to speak, for this. It says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. And that's just the first half of the verse. The example I've seen of that, or the application I've seen of that in just practical life, has been just like I talked about with the job. There's something about accomplishing something, the ending of something. You've worked a job for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Now that's coming to a close. Now you're moving on to something different, whether it's a different job or retirement or whatever. But there's a sweetness about the completion of something or the finalizing, the ending of something that you don't know when you first start out. You don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know what all it's going to bring. And the closure of that, a lot of times you see things much clearer, where you've been, what you've done. Mm-hmm. Another example I can think of in my life regarding closure and seasons of life and not paying attention in the middle of a season and seasons change and it's gone and can't even absorb what all happened. You don't even, can't even account for it. When I was in vocational school, I was in a relationship that, looking back, I guess I have to say, was more of a distraction than a help. And this occurred over my years in the vocational school, which is in a town about an hour away, that also happens to be on our route to my in-laws. And every time we would drive through there, so I was there when I was, you know, 18 to 20 and then got married at 25. So 5 years later, driving through this town, each time we go to my in-laws, and something just nags me. Every time we go through there, this same feeling comes on me. And we've been married about 10 years, and a friend of mine and I, who also has a connection to this town, we just, for giggles, we went up there one day just to, you know, kind of visit old haunts, so to speak. And I told him about this thing, and he just, I think he said, he's like, I'm not even really sure what I was saying when I said it, but that these things you feel doesn't really have anything to do with this place in particular. It was just that period in your life and the things going on in your life. And I was thankful for that. That set me on a trail as far as how to pray, how to seek God about getting through this thing, because that's not healthy. That's not normal. It shouldn't be like that. And to realize that that was definitely a very specific season of my life that I just wasn't paying attention. I was focused on one thing, and I think I missed some opportunities, but this isn't, not even anecdotal at this point. That's not even helpful. It's like, well, it is what it is. But to deal with that, there's a certain amount of loss involved in that situation where it's like, yeah, there probably were some things I could have done that might have helped me professionally. They might have been educational or, you know, job experience, so to speak. So that was kind of one of the first instances that really showed me really need to be processing things as things happen, that there are seasons in life and things come, things go, and you want to take it all in as it's happening. You know, your carpe diem, your seize the moment, seize the day. In other words, live in this day because this is the only day you can actually participate with.
Right.
You know, this is the only day you can interact with because you're right here, right now. Now, that not to say that you don't worry about tomorrow as far as being irresponsible with how you behave today, but the past is gone. It's not coming back. You can't go back to it. God's not going to take you back to it, you know, literally, physically, to deal with it. So you need to deal with each day for that day. You know, it says in Matthew that don't worry about tomorrow because each day is sufficient to the evil of it. In other words, there's enough to think about just today. Don't get too wrapped up about tomorrow. That's not to say you don't plan, but
right, yeah.
Your focus is today.
Don't stress and have anxiety about tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Take care of what you know you can and forget the rest, I guess.
Yeah. Don't try to heap on to today things for tomorrow that you can't actually change today.
Mm-hmm. So that just reminds me of, I guess, kind of a similar experience. It reminds me of an experience. So obviously, when we're young, being like, you know, little and teenagers and whatnot, we just, at least some of us, for the most part, we're just thinking like, we just want to get to the next really fun thing in our life. We don't want to go to work. We don't want to go to school, whether it's the weekend or when we can be done with school or whatever. And always trying to figure out, like, what would be really fun to do? What's exciting? You know, playing video games or watching a fun movie or going on a cool vacation or whatever, but it's got to be this certain level of excitement, or otherwise it's not worth it. You know, I don't want to just sit at home and do some chores and, you know, whatever. Like, this idea that I've had, like, well, I've got to have some certain level of fun or excitement in my life, at least occasionally. Otherwise, it's, you know, and always trying to figure out what will be worth it to do, what kind of experience, you know. Anyway, all that to say, I was, so my wife and I have always tried to go away for a weekend or a long weekend every year, whether it's on our anniversary or some point in the year.
Yeah, definitely.
And we went to a campground, and it wasn't like there was a lot of crazy, cool, fun, silly stuff to do. It was just camping. And we went for a walk. I've never been big on taking walks because they're not super crazy, fun, exciting things. At one point in my life, I would have said, going for a walk is boring, you know. Anyway, we went for a walk, and we were going over this bridge over this little creek, and it was, like, perfect weather, sunny, slightly on the cool side, so I wasn't too hot, almost jacket weather, but not quite. And we're just standing on this bridge, just the two of us, and just looking at the trees and the water. My wife is a photographer like you. She always has her camera with her, especially if we're going to be traveling or whatever. And she was just taking pictures, and I was just standing there, and part of me was thinking, like, when are we going to do something exciting and fun? When are we going to move on from this just standing on this bridge? You know, like, what are we going to do next? And then the thought followed that, like, can't you just stand here, enjoy being with your wife, just standing here, feeling the breeze, feeling the sun, hearing the water. I just had this thought, like, yeah, this is actually really nice.
Yeah.
It's not like this high level of super excitement that, you know, I always have imagined that that's the whole point of life or whatever. And I was able to, like, change my mind on it in the moment. Like, yeah, whatever. If we stand here for an hour and we just stand here, this is...
yeah.
I'm not at work doing something I hate. I'm not doing chores at home. And it was. And I just... Then I just like, started taking it in, just looking at the water, looking at leaves floating down the creek and... looking at a bird flying over, and my wife's just standing. I don't know. I don't know if I'm even explaining it, but just.
Oh yeah.
Then it became a really, like, meaningful experience.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't even really talk, she was just taking pictures, and I was
just there together.
And I can't say I, like, kept from that time on, but I just remember that, like, thinking, like, you don't have to, like, be wondering and wishing, when's the next big thing coming? Can we just get to that now?
Right.
You know. I don't know.
So is that something in some form or fashion has kind of recurred since then, now knowing that?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I've changed my mindset on it, that life doesn't have to be like this high all the time.
Right.
It can just be enjoyable, peaceful, you know. Like, kind of just the other night, my 11-year-old, and you're talking about, you know, the last, like, my youngest is 11. My oldest just got married and moved away. That was
traumatic.
I wasn't like slightly traumatic. Actually, I have a story about that. I'll just say in just a second here. But so just the other night, I had to go run some errand or whatever, and my 11-year-old said, "Can we play a game?" And I was like, I was trying to get something done, and then I had to leave in 20 minutes. And I was like, "Well, what kind of game do you want to play?" And he's like, "I don't know, board game, card game." I'm like, "Let's just play like a simple card game that's not going to take an hour." So he grabbed the cards and we played for 15 minutes and then I had to leave. We got two games and it's just a really short game. And again, I had this thought, like, to me, this isn't like, you know, when I was younger and I was just gonna be like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. You know, it was just a fun little, and it was only 15 minutes, but then I don't know. It hit me as like, this is, I'm glad I did that.
Yeah.
I took 15 minutes. I could very easily have said, like, no, we don't have time to do anything. I got to leave in a few minutes. But it was only 15 minutes. We sat down on the living room floor, just the two of us, and played a game for a few minutes. You know?
Yep.
And I'm just, that's kind of like you're saying, just if it's only 15 minutes, be there. I connected with him. He enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Yep. You know, it. And why that time I was like, sure, let's play a game. When normally I'd be like, no, I'm in a hurry. I gotta run off, you know? And not that I don't think I spend too little time with my kids. I mean, it's always often a struggle. Like, I got chores to do. I got this, you know, but I know I should spend time with my kids and I want to spend time with my kids. And so there's always this balance struggle, and I forget, I have no idea who said it, but I saw it. It was at the end of an email, you know, how you have an automatic email signature.
Mm-hmm.
It was somebody that I know had sent me an email and he had in his automatic email signature. It was, can't remember, I'm going to botch it, but it was something to the effect of, if we would just learn to use the little snippets in between the things that we're doing, how much could we accomplish over our life?
Yeah.
That if we would put a little bit of time toward this and a little time toward that in the scraps of time that we don't think are worth anything.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I was thinking about, so my daughter, she just got married last year, and her husband joined the Army. They both grew up in the same town. His parents are in town. Her parents are in town. I thought, perfect. This is going to my plan. They'll stay, and I'll get to see the grandkids every week at least.
Yeah.
But then he joined the Army. So, and they just moved to another state. And so we were helping him pack up. And my wife quickly went through all the photos from the time she was a baby up until now and grabbed, I don't know how many, several pages worth, and printed them, put them in a book, a photo album, and gave it to her. And this, she had given it to her like 2 or 3 days before, like, they were going to move. And so that was already at her apartment. And so we're packing up stuff and I'm mostly I was carrying heavy stuff in boxes, but there was still stuff that needed to be put in boxes. And I came across this photo album. So I'm like, oh. So I opened it, started flipping through. And of course, now I'm seeing pictures of my daughter from a baby as she's growing up. And I just like sat down on the floor right where I was.
Set up.
Right. I don't think, well, maybe God said it.
Yeah, right.
That's,
exactly.
Maybe that's what you're getting at. And so I just like sat down on the floor where I was in the middle of the room and I started flipping through. And there was nobody in the room at the moment. And all of a sudden, people came back and they were outside putting stuff in the truck or whatever. They're like, oh, excuse me, it comes up, excuse me. And I'm like, so I looked around and there was a room that was already empty, one of the bedrooms. So I said, all right, I'm going to go in here for, I don't know, 10 minutes and shut the door and cry for a little while. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
True story.
And then I went, and I think you saw the post I posted on Facebook. I went and found just the pictures of her and me from baby all the way up until now. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe God was like, going to give you a little closure here, a little reflection.
Process this moment. Process, yeah, so she's not eight hours away, and then this happens. And
right.
Now
right.
What?
Yeah, exactly. And then I got a selfie with her in front of the truck to, like, kind of the, this is the goodbye. Not that we'll never see him again, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little emotional. I'm not a big crier, but. I almost needed to grab a Kleenex.
Almost.
Almost.
The other thing I seeing anecdotally is there's a lot of times when you're in the middle of something and it doesn't even dawn on you that, you know, this may seem like it's going to go on forever, but actually this is it. Or this is going to, conferences, for instance. The cycle of conferences they had at some of the other churches, and all of a sudden, it's not that they went away, but there's a very distinct shift in the way that was done or how where it was done. And you don't know what will happen tomorrow. A lot of times you're in the middle of something and you don't realize, well, this is actually the last time you're ever going to get to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we live in fear or paranoia or we're so distracted with, well, is this it? Is this the last time? And so we don't enjoy it either in the moment.
Yeah.
But we really do need to stop anytime anything of any kind is, I don't even want to say significance. That's a problem. A lot of times we don't realize how significant something is until the next day, week, month, and we go, okay, so I guess that's the end of that then. You know, or that.
Yeah.
Or somebody passes on or whatever it is. But that's a huge thing is. We many times don't know the significance of something or the realize what we have. That's almost a rock and roll cliche. You don't realize what you got till it's gone. But
yeah, right.
But it's a cliche because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens in life. There's one of the other churches. There's a guy. We worked together on one of the conferences. Actually, it was right after I got fired. And I went down there with our group of guys that was going down to Pittsburgh, and I didn't even bring my camera with me, which is like a cardinal sin, but they threw a camera at me and said, we'll take pictures. But he and I worked together on, like, I'd shoot pictures and then run, like, a real short slideshow the next morning of some of the stuff that happened from the day before, and just had such an amazing time. He was so much fun to work with. And I met him before that. I mean, so I knew him. And now years later, it's like there's just a little bit of heartache from had an amazing time. Actually, it was 2 years in a row, did a similar thing. But things like that happen, too. And you meet people and we'll say chemistry, but the dynamics of working with them, it's just so enjoyable. And then that's it. You don't necessarily get that opportunity again with that person. Another example is my father-in-law passed away 3 years ago in the midst of the beginning of COVID, and that was ridiculous. I'll just say that. But we did what we needed to do to get our closure, to do our process through it with what would be considered mostly normal events for when someone passes away. But there's a couple memories I have of him of some things we did together. One of them was snowmobiling, and we did this one big trip. They live up north. There's actually a strip called Snowway 1. It's actually like a snowmobiler's highway, so to speak, south of Pine River. And it's a huge, wide, groomed trail, and because that's kind of a corridor for going from one sporting location to another in the winter. And we got to do this one big, huge loop this one day. That day, I didn't know that was the only time I was ever going to get to do that. And so often that's the case. Things transpire in our life and we just don't even take in the significance of it or appreciate the weight of it until it's long gone. And my relationship with my father-in-law was very much that way. I was very surprised how I responded, very surprised how I felt and the things I realized after he passed. I mean, we had a good relationship. If you'd have told me that his passing was going to be the one that impacted me the most, because my mom passed away just a couple months before that, right before COVID, the whole blow up. And I was grateful we were able to do normal ceremony for her passing. And all of us and the nieces and nephews going out for lunch afterward and all of that. But sometimes you just don't know. And the only way to make sure you get squeeze every ounce of life out of life is to not be obsessed about yesterday or tomorrow in the midst of something, you know, engage right now. That whole seize the day, seize the moment, engage the moment. Can't go wrong. As a photographer, I mean, your wife might attest to this too. And there was a period where I really was very driven about getting pictures of things because they were changing. And there was a huge construction project by the house I grew up in. And so there was a certain aspect of chronicling it, but there's almost an obsessive drive about that in general that later God worked it out of me as far as it's because of loss that I felt that grasping onto by taking all these images to grasp onto today as it was. But as a photographer, especially with your family, you can not exactly take in the event in person when you're staring through the lens the whole time. Even if you're looking at it, it's not that you're distracted with not looking at your kid through the lens as you're taking a picture of them while they're playing basketball or soccer or whatever. I would force myself to try and forget about the camera and look at them and try to observe them as if I didn't have a camera. And I was simply just watching them play the game.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely a difference. And I've noticed it now that I've never been a photographer. I've never cared about having a camera. But obviously, we all have a camera in our pocket now with smartphones. And I like to post stuff on Facebook. And I've definitely noticed it's a different experience when you're thinking about, would this make a cool picture or video for Facebook? Or whether you're just in the moment and you're not thinking about that from the photographer or videographer side. You're there, which obviously that's why people hire people who aren't in their family to do weddings usually.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm assuming, you weren't the photographer at your own kids' weddings, obviously.
No.
That would be a terrible experience.
I toted my camera anyway, but yes, I let somebody else worry about it. I just try to take all the goofy stuff.
Other thing I was thinking when you were, because I remember you, I was one of the guys that you had texted about, remember as your kids are growing up, like I've already been through this, your kids are about 10 years older than mine-ish, you know. Your youngest is what?
2 weeks younger than your oldest.
Whatever. 2 weeks apart.
There you go.
So.
Our families barely overlap.
Right, just barely. So yeah, you had texted me and said, remember your youngest is 11 now and there's going to be a lot of lasts coming up with your youngest kid, that stuff you're never going to do again. This is the last time. And I don't know how much I thought about it at the exact moment, but I've been thinking about it over the last, you know, year or two, whatever, that I don't want to let dumb excuses. I mean, not that they're dumb. I mean, again, there's always this tension in life with everything, this balance, and you don't know what's the right way to,
which one's actually more important or not.
Right. But I've been trying to lean more heavily toward, I'm too busy, it's too expensive, like, forget that. It's for my kids. I want to, you know, not that you have to spend a lot of money to enjoy time with your kids. Like I said, we played a card game for 15 minutes. But stuff that I would never have dreamed of when my older kids were 10 years old, I almost feel bad that I feel like my younger kids have a much better dad than my older kids had at their age. But I don't know, whatever. So, you know, they're like, we want to buy a go-kart. And I'm like, we don't have any place to store it. We don't have the money for it. And they're like, well, we got money. We'll put it together. We can. And they go online now and they find this stuff. And like, look, we found go-karts that we can afford. And I'm like, it's 2.5 hours. It was a 2.5 hour drive. And I'm like, whatever, let's do it. And like, I mean, we talked about it for a couple of days, but and I had work the next morning and I was like, yeah, I said, okay, tomorrow, right when I get home from work, if you guys are ready, we'll have the trailer hooked up and we'll go get these go-karts. And I drove 2.5 hours away after work and back home. I can't remember what time we got home, but. And also one of my other things, like, I don't know anything about engines. I like doing woodworking, like not fine woodworking. Like if it's me made out of rough 2x4s, that's what I like. I don't like sanding. I don't like painting. But I like figuring out how to make stuff. But anyway, so I'm like, whatever. We got a couple friends who know how to fix engines. Well, let's just do it. And they had the money. It was just my time and the gas money. So part of that is that, like I said, like, was it a wise decision? I don't know. Could we afford the gas money? I don't know.
Right.
Whatever. We did it. Yeah. I was like, let's just do it. They want to do it. They saved up the money for it. Yeah. I only got one of them running, sort of, so far.
So the faith element, I think, of all these kinds of things is when you've got things that have passed you by, days that, you know, seasons that you missed, didn't recognize, whatever, is the loss that's there, he can heal that. Mm-hmm. In the midst of it, he can help you see, help you make the better choice. Like you're just talking about, well, there's this practical thing. I really need to be doing this, but we want to do this over here. And how do I do this, God? He can really help us both deal with the past, be prepared for the future, recognize the present. So that's another thing. Sometimes we have no idea the impact we might have on somebody in any given moment. We don't think twice about whatever little thing it is we might have done, or maybe we might have shown kindness. Or there's one teacher I can think of from high school that was a believer, that I can still see it in my mind, this one particular setting, and it was a very simple thing, but I felt uplifted in the moment. It was helpful, and it was just a simple thing. Probably the converse is true, that the things that we think are a big deal may have less lasting impact than the things that we don't think anything about, mm-hmm. and they actually were a really big deal to somebody.
Right, yeah. A couple other thoughts that I had that you reminded me now. I saw this post on Facebook. It's a random picture of some, like, kids in a neighborhood riding bike or playing or whatever, and it said, one summer night, you and your best friends in the neighborhood all played together, and that was the last time you ever did that, and nobody knew it. Trying to remember the neighborhood kids when I was 10 years old, I can remember a couple, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was the last time you ever played together, and nobody knew that it was the last time.
Exactly. That's the part that makes it hard to deal with sometimes years later is, I don't want to overuse the word closure. I suppose another way we could say it is that processing things as they happen in a healthy manner so that you see things for what they are in the moment, which a lot of times we don't see the significance of things, but it's processing them in a healthy way. There was a guy that spoke at our church a few times years ago, and he had made the comment that, you know, when people experience trauma in their life, a lot of times they get stuck. They're still stuck there emotionally or psychologically 10, 15, 20 years later because they weren't able to process through it correctly, whether it was didn't have people around them to minister to them, to encourage them, to help them see it for what it was, or they didn't see it for what it was. The whole thing of grief, there's tons of stuff about that out there, that there's no time limit on grief, you know. It's like you can't tell somebody, well, it's been 2 years since your spouse passed away, you should be over that now. It's like,
right.
Well, no. There's a difference between still being stuck back there, like you're expecting it's going to return to normal or something,
mm-hmm.
and just simply occasionally being reminded of those times and mourning the fact that they're gone, but acknowledging that they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like I said about my father-in-law, that still surprises me, randomly shows up, and I, you know, realize how much I miss him. But I'm just simply never going to see him again. I mean, mm-hmm. until eternity, but I am never going to see him in this life again. We are never going to go to a vintage snowmobile show together again. We're never going to go on a snowmobile ride together again. We're never going to drive into Fleet Farm on Saturday morning when we're visiting to get an oil filter or bag of munchies or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or the fact that it is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a loss that you can get stuck in that too, that to not see that those really are losses. If they're emotional, psychological, that is still a loss. That is still can be as significant as I lost a $50 bill out in the street somewhere. I don't know. It was in my wallet when I went out and it's gone when I came back. Well, emotionally, psychologically, those losses can be just as real.
All right. That reminds me of another story. This is totally way off over time up, but it reminds me.
Need that record scratching sound.
Gotta inject a little humor here, so that's what this is. At where I work at the front desk, and a customer will come up, and I'll tell them the price. And we're like, they'll make, oh my gosh, why is it so expensive? It never used to be. And they want to make this big deal of it and have this long conversation about how expensive it is. And there's customers waiting behind them. And I want to be as friendly and helpful as I can and move the line along as quickly as I can. Whatever combination of those I can get.
You pick two of the three. Yeah.
Like, there are people behind you. Come on. Think about the other people here, too. No, you're not the only one here. And I've joked with my coworkers, I want to write up a letter and have it all ready to go. And if they start balking about the price, just say, step aside, please read this. Just jump back in. I'll get you whenever you're ready. And it'll say, yes, this is the lowest price that we have. I understand this comes as a shock to you, and it's really difficult to handle. Take as much time as you need right now to get over it. Let it sink in. Mourn the loss. And when you're ready, I'll still be here to help you. In the meantime, I'm going to help the next customer. Oh. even it's like $10, what? Like, that's apparently a big emotional hurdle for some people.
Once in a while, something like that will happen that is semi-legit only in the fact that, no, I have not been paying attention to that for the last 3 years. Really, that happened in the last 3 years? Yeah. Oh, I had the same thing. So when we did start doing the music night thing, I had the idea to do that. And on the Friday nights, we'd do pizza and then just take turns playing music. So I had to set up a system to play it on. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my thing. And it's all vintage gear. Mm-hmm. Well, so I'm going to start digging pieces out. None of this. I haven't had any actual stereo, quote unquote, set up for over a decade, probably longer than that. And the closest thing I got to the system that I built that I have connected to my computer, it's like, that's the closest thing I got to a listening environment. So I actually go to dig this all my vintage gear out and go, okay, yeah, well, I'll set this up. And I go to plug something in and it's not working right. I'm like, wow. Then I have to consider, okay, well, let's see. I could see if I can get this repaired. It's like, talk about the world passing you by. When I contacted a guy I used to work with who actually gave me a couple pieces of gear that are the core of the system that we're using, who he dealt with in the metro area for some of this stuff, and gave me a couple names, and I found the email addresses and contacted a couple of them. And the response I got from this one guy, who I can't remember by his own admission, he was actually a much younger guy, but I'm like, dude, you are clueless. Seriously? This is what I'm asking for. And the very core of this piece of equipment is its power rating. And you're telling me you don't even do power tests on stuff? What kind of technician are you? And it just, that whole thing just came tumbling down. And I realized that whole universe I grew up in is all but gone, except for those with money. The whole vintage hi-fi thing. And that's what I lived and breathed. Saturdays, I'd go to Team Electronics or Sound World or and then later became Audio King and just soak all this stuff up and read the brochures from top to bottom and stare at these photos. And anyway, I'm like, that whole world where you bought equipment, you could get it repaired, that is all but gone.
So another thought I had, I'm very leery about taking a verse from the Bible and just applying it however the first way that it pops into my head. But I don't think this is a misuse of scripture. So here we go. Ugh, I'm in KJV.
What's the matter with the King James?
Nothing, except no one will understand what I'm saying. I grew up on King James.
I believe it.
So it always makes me cringe when people use thee and thou in the wrong way. Like, that's not, don't you understand Old English grammar? Come on. Joel 2:25. And I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. I could read the rest, but it doesn't really make my point.
Yeah.
Whatever it is in your life that, like, I know in my life I've wasted decades not serving God, like, even in the time that I knew that I should. I've had relationships that were terrible and distracting, and I knew ahead of time I shouldn't have had, but I was dumb and just following my flesh. And like I said, with parenting, the times weren't in the moment, we were too busy to think about it, and we just needed to get to the next thing. And And we can look back and regret that stuff. And to a certain extent, that is a good thing to do. Some people say, I have no regrets. Like, well, maybe we're not using the word regret in the same way.
Acknowledge a loss.
Right. Like, I feel bad about things I've done in my past, especially when it's hurt other people and I can't fix it anymore.
Right.
That's a regret. Now, maybe when they say I have no regrets, it means like I don't live in that for the rest of my life. I guess, yes, that's true. But either way, point being, we need to mourn things that we've lost in the past, the ways that we didn't live the way we knew we should have, and now it's too late. There's nothing we can do. And give it to God, and God can, and I say this is a miracle. How can we make up for 30 lost years when we're finally, God got a hold of us or said, now when you pay attention and do what I'm telling you to do?
Yep.
Okay, finally. But what about the last 30 years? My kids are grown and gone. It's too late, you know, whatever. God can do a miracle and restore the years that the locusts have eaten, the years that were wasted and lost and that we'll never get back and that will affect us and our kids for the rest of our lives. God can do a miracle. I guess I've always taken that verse to mean, like, if God will restore what was lost, the years that the locusts have eaten, maybe that means God can make it as if those years hadn't been lost. He can restore relationships to what they should have been, to where there's more the joy and the goodness of the relationships that God can heal. We forget the way it used to be, and the joy overtakes the previous pain.
Yeah.
Not that we don't ever remember it again. But
right. The sting is gone. When we do remember it, the sting is gone.
Yeah.
If I didn't sound like I said that, I totally concur that that is the thing, is that salvation, the three aspects of that word actually is, you know, saved, healed, delivered, is not just going to save us spiritually from damnation, but he's also going to restore body, restore emotion, psychological, the things we're talking about, that he can do that. And that's why movies like Back to the Future, Family Man, Wonderful Life, Peggy Sue Got Married, there's a handful of them that use the time travel mechanism as a plot device, I think that's what they would call it. Because everybody likes the idea of, everybody knows they've made some kind of mistake, they have some kind of regret, and they wish they could go back and fix it.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't happen. Yesterday is gone. God can heal how you see and feel and understand about yesterday. That's the other thing, as a child, and many times with going through social prayer or whatever you want to call it, the early phases of it were called theophostics, but the idea of praying to deal with and heal emotions and psychological damage. One thing as a child is you go through an event and you really don't see it right.
Mm-hmm.
And even sometimes as an adult, you're not seeing things exactly how they really are. But as a child especially, and part of the healing sometimes is understanding in that situation what actually happened or what was actually going on, what somebody's motives actually were, to get closure from it, to realize that's not at all what was going on. I had I'm adopted, and I had this false, I'll just say it right up front before I even tell the story, but false idea that it was primarily my adopted mom who wanted to adopt me, because my adopted mom and my biological mom were actually best friends. And it was a lie from hell that my adopted dad really wasn't into it. And we didn't have a great connection together. And so that kind of fed, you know, the possible legitimacy of that lie. But in scanning photos for my mom's wake, you know, I've done a ton of slideshows for people for funerals. And when I think of my life, sometimes I think of in terms of that slideshow. That slideshow is nothing except that it can encapsulate and show you some of the things that were important to this person or encapsulate aspects of their life. And so I'll think to myself, well, which thing would I rather show up in that slideshow? Should I have done this or should I have done that? Mm-hmm. That just seeing things encapsulated like that sometimes can bring clarity on, well, what should I do here in this situation? Anyway, I'm scanning photos for her wake, and I run across this one of my adopted dad's brother holding me as an infant. I mean, it couldn't have been but a month old. And just the stance my adopted dad had in leaning over, looking at me and talking to his brother, I saw this photo, and in a moment, I knew that that was a lie that I had believed, that he wasn't into it. This one image, this is why I love photography. One aspect of it is it freezes a moment, captures an emotion, a response, a situation that can tell us a story later on. Sometimes it can remind us of God's goodness. It can remind us of the importance of a certain person in our life, whatever, but it tells that same story over and over again. And I saw this photo and instantly I knew that that was not true, that it's not true that my adopted mom was the main instigator and that my adopted dad wasn't into it at all. Our minimal relationship and connection or whatever had nothing to do with that. It just had to do with personality and age and upbringing and whatever else. It had nothing to do whether he was interested in having adopted me or not. And that really shifted how I viewed him, even though he passed on 23 years ago. And this was just a couple of years ago. I ran across his photo. It shifted, and I repented. I said, God, I judged him. I judged his heart, and it's not right. I have believed a lie. And so that's the aspect of a lot of these stories I'm telling, that God can heal those things. God can, he doesn't change the past as far as materially, physically, like change the events that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But he changes us internally, how we see them, how we understand them, and heals the scars from them so that the sting isn't there when we recall some of these things. And that's how we're able to minister to others. Because if we're still scarred and hurting every time we talk about these things, it's not as helpful to other people because they don't feel life coming through. They still feel all the hurt that we feel coming through. But to be able to convey the reality of it and God's mercy and power and healing in the midst of it, that's something to find hope in.